evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program there, remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 29, 2020. Four women were killed in revenge attacks in Lake State.
So that thing was something very surprised and shocked all of us. And I think it can even shock the whole South Sudan. Because at that time, we know always revenge killing, it was mean to mean. But now the revenge killing has changed itself. People are taking revenge through women.
And a South Sudanese refugee is on the Canadian delegation to UNHCR 2020 meeting in Geneva.
The most important thing that I will be advising the Canadian government to do with refugees is to bring the refugees' experience perspective into the conversation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Women rights activists in Lake State are condemning the killing of five women in Tribed County last week in what is believed to be a revenge attack. Leader of a women's association in Lake State says the incident has caused fear among women in Tribed County. Another women rights activist is calling on the government in Lake State to arrest perpetrators of violence against women. For VOA News, William Sunday Mabor reports from Rombek.
Acting Commissioner of Tribed County, Machar Morwell, says the violence first started when armed youth from a UL community of Agangrial village stole cattle from Pagong community of Langdid village on Friday. Morwell, who declined to be recorded, told South Sudan in Focus when a woman from Pagong community tried to follow the armed man who stole the cattle, they shot and killed her. After the incident, he says armed youth from Pagong launched a revenge attack on a UL community, shooting dead four women. Josela Nyanagar Juma, head of Lake State Women Association, says the attack shocked many residents. Nyanagar says youth who kill women are literally killing South Sudan. She says women are not involved in intercommunal clashes and should not be targeted in revenge attacks.
So that thing was something very surprised and shocked all of us. And I think it can even shock the whole South Sudan. Because at that time, we know always revenge killing, it was mean to mean. But now the revenge killing has changed itself. People are taking revenge through women. Women are just a very small people, weak, which we cannot even imagine one day or one time that our people will think to reach the extent of killing women. Because when you killed women, you mean that you want to destroy the nation.
Nyanagar says many women are in hiding in Tribed County because they fear they too will be killed.
I've heard that in Tribed, women are not free to walk, are not free to move. And we are the people who move every day and night. We are the people who are having a lot of activities to do at home, in the market, in the garden, and everywhere. And if they said today women also should hide themselves, like as the men are doing, how are we going to survive?
Nyanagar is calling on the authorities to arrest and prosecute the perpetrators. She says that is the only way to prevent further violence against women.
Those people who are responsible for that act should be brought to court, should face the judgment to know what they are doing. It is something wrong. And we don't want to encourage people or other people to do that things again, ahead, or to allow them to just feel that it is something normal. Killing a woman is something normal.
She says armed youth should be protecting women rather than killing them. Bronka Umjuma, DAC former speaker of now defunct Gog State, is also calling on the government officials and authorities to bring the perpetrators to justice.
I really appeal also to the government to bring those culprits into book. I don't want such incident to happen again in Lagos State in general. It is so much painful because it is first time for the people of Lagos to get such an incident. The incident that related with the women's. I will also do my part. I must make sure that the culprits are brought to book.
DAC is urging the armed men of Lake State to stop targeting women in intercommunal attacks, pointing out that women are not the ones carrying out cattle raids or attacking other communities. Lake State has experienced endless waves of communal violence, mainly fueled by revenge attacks and cattle raids. The region is undergoing a mandatory disarmament exercise, but armed civilians continue to stage attacks. Acting Commissioner Morwell says he is working with the traditional chief to identify the perpetrators and bring them to justice. He says he's also asking state officials to send the troops to the area to stabilize what he calls the deteriorating security situation in Chebet County. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur in Rumbek, Lagos State.
Another South Sudanese refugee in Canada has been appointed as an advisor to the Canadian refugee delegation to the 2020 meeting of the UNHCR Executive Committee. Malwal Bolkir was named as the newest refugee advisor to the Canadian delegation on Monday. Canada says it has delivered on her commitment to include a refugee in its delegation to the 2020 meeting in Geneva. Ball says he is happy to be among refugee stakeholders. He says he will share his experience with refugee actors across the world.
The most important thing that I will be advising Canadian government to do with refugees is to bring the refugees' experience perspective into the conversation, because it is not something that I just read or heard. It is something that I've lived myself. So it's going to be like a rich experience. And at the same time, one of the things that we will do with Canada is that, because there's all that is happening about the refugees' meaningful participation. So refugees' meaningful participation is not just, should not just be about the talks. It should be about including the refugees in the decisions that are meant for them.
What do you mean by meaningful refugee participation? I've worked with refugees before, and sometimes it's not easy to believe what refugees tell you.
One of the things is the role that I would be doing is not just about telling my story. It's not just about tokenizing me or showing me or just talking about my own experiences. It's about influencing the process. Because I don't know whether you know about this executive committee of the UNHCR. It was established in 1958 by the ECOSOC, which is the UN Economic and Social Council, as mandated by the UN General Assembly in 1958. And if you look at the executive committee, it's actually for the first time that somebody with refugee experience is part of this conversation. And the executive committee is like the parliament of UNHCR. So they work to review and approve the agency's programs and budgets, the budget for UNHCR and the programs, and also advise UNHCR on international protection and discuss a range of other important issues, you know, look at the, approve the biennial budget. So one of the most important things is that, and XCOM is a combination of different states to advise UNHCR on, it's like the parliament for UNHCR.
Yeah.
So when I have those, when I'm part of those conversations, so there will be a different, unique experience. It will not just be something that I don't know from the other part of the table, from the other side of the table.
Yes.
So it will be something that I've lived myself and contribute through my own experience. Not that I will just be sharing my story, but influencing through the process through my own experiences.
I've been in touch with refugees in Uganda, especially refugees from Bidibidi refugee camp. What they tell me is heartbreaking. You know, they are talking about people risking the journey from Uganda back home on foot just because the ratio they get is not enough to keep them alive. What are you going to tell stakeholders at this meeting in Geneva?
What we are going to discuss... of course, the UNHCR will come with what they have been doing so far and some of the priorities, that some of the targets that they think needs funding, or some of the areas that needs funding, or some of the management or administrative issues that they need the parliament or they need the executive committee to discuss about. So I understand the situation of the... We have so far have... In 2019, we have about 79.5 million refugees that are being displaced around the world, and out of that percentage, 57% of them are from three countries, that's Syria, Afghanistan, and South Sudan. So it's a big issue for UNHCR, and I think maybe they will have a priorities, but at the same time, as someone who would be part of the Canadian delegation, and someone who is myself, I've been in touch with refugees, so I think it would be very unique for us to also share what I will learn from the refugees to the Canadian government, and we will be able to push it together with Canada into in the process and making sure that those voices or those concerns or those gaps that the refugees need to be addressed will be put into the conversation to make sure that they have a voice in the process.
I know that most refugees in Africa eye the third country solution, which is more of a resettlement than staying in a camp until they are repatriated back home. What is your experience here in Canada?
Interesting. This is very interesting because even when I was in the refugee camp in Uganda, if you look at particularly the South Sudanese refugees, they've never looked at resettlement as one of the solutions. There could be some refugees that think so, but all what inspired me with the South Sudanese refugees, all they want is always peace in South Sudan so that they go and live a dignified life. So some of these conversations, if refugees are talking like that, so one of my role would be to make sure that we don't come with whatever we think as Canada or other country. So sometimes it's also very good to be in touch, to consult with the refugees, to be in touch with them and for them to be included so that they share what they think are the best solution. So my main role is to also making sure that the refugees are not just looked at as people that are just beneficiaries and are decided all the issues or what their needs are decided in Geneva. So there's need to always engage them, to consult with them on their own solutions, because there's nothing for refugees that would be good without the refugees, because they are the refugees are the experts.
That's Malwal Bolkir, the refugee advisor to the Canadian delegation to UNHCR's 2020 Executive Committee meeting in Geneva. In the second part of this interview, Malwal shares with us his experience living as a refugee in Canada. He spoke to me from Kitchener on Monday. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what are health officials in South Sudan doing to prevent COVID-19 crossing the border into the country? That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your golden rule in life?
My golden rule is never to give up, no matter what, whether it's on family challenges, money problems, work related, I just never give up.
Golden rule. No, I don't allow men to play with my life. That is my golden rule. And I don't allow anyone to talk ill about my parents and my family.
Put God first, because in everything you need God. And as you know, the fearing of God is the beginning of knowledge.
Not to lie, I always want to base my living, everything I do, my speaking, my saying, in facts and truth.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
VOA always delivers your favorite programs, news, music, entertainment, and sports shows. Starting Monday, October 5th, our flagship news show, South Sudan in Focus, will be moving to 16:30 UTC, followed by your favorite sports show, The Sunny Side of Sports, at 1700 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. In our Tuesday Health segment, we look at how health officials are controlling the borders in South Sudan. The incident manager for COVID-19 at the South Sudan Ministry of Health warns the country is likely to experience a second wave of COVID outbreak. Dr. Richard Lino Lako says, as long as people returning from Uganda and truck drivers who tested for the virus are allowed to mingle with communities, South Sudan will experience another wave of infections. Lako says since the beginning of September, health officials have confirmed 90 imported cases of COVID-19 at the Nimule border crossing. For VOA News, Onen Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Speaking exclusively to South Sudan in Focus on Sunday, Health Ministry COVID-19 Incident Manager Dr. Richard Lino Lako said South Sudan documented about 90 confirmed COVID-19 cases entering the country through the Nimule border post since the beginning of September.
We are almost having around 90 cases that are reported. From yesterday report, Nimule, they have tested 73. Out of these 73, 5 of them are tested positive. So the total of 8 numbers we reported, and we've been seeing the trend from beginning of the month up to now, a lot of imported cases of retinue coming back home from Uganda, and most of them are positive.
A majority of the people who test positive for COVID-19 at the Nimule border post are either truck drivers or South Sudanese returning from Uganda, according to Dr. Lako. Dr. Lako says if no action is taken, more returnees and truck drivers who test positive for COVID-19 will enter the country through Nimule and integrate into communities.
The issue is the clearance. Ideally, like the other side of the country, nobody will be cleared. You will not get your passport, get stamped until you get the result. But this is not the case on this side. People come, sample collected, and people pass it. Ideally, everybody coming to the country, the passport should be detained, and the documents detained until they see the result. If you are national, you are positive, of course, you get this stamp, go to the country.
Dr. Lako says health officials should make sure people entering the country are either put in isolation or given advice on how to protect themselves. Otherwise, he says many travelers entering the country could move to remote areas and create new clusters of community transmission.
This brings a big cause of alarm because when you look at this 90 and you multiply this 90 by 15 contacts, this will go to nearly 2,000 contacts. These 2,000 contacts, if you take 66% of them, then we'll see this will generate nearly 800 cases, additional cases in the last 14 days.
The health ministry has no data on people entering South Sudan through Ethiopia and Sudan because there are no testing facilities at border crossing points with those two countries, according to Lako. Boldeng, Secretary General of the South Sudan Doctors Union, says even though there is no quarantine facility in Nimule, COVID-19 suspects should be kept in one place as they await their test results.
We need to provide a facility where people can stay. Secondly, we need to make sure that the results do come out in a shorter time. I'm not sure about the circumstances where people actually left, but what we know mainly, people are screened, the sample are collected, and then they are kept in a waiting place where they should, you know, wait for the results.
Deng said South Sudan is using polymerase chain reactions, or PCR machines, which can produce test results within 24 hours. Dr. Lako is calling on the government and aid agencies to install PCR machines at crossing points on South Sudan's borders with Sudan and Ethiopia, so travelers are tested before they enter the country to prevent transmission of the virus. In addition, Dr. Lako says border officials should disinfect all trucks and other vehicles entering South Sudan and keep returnees at isolation centers at the border for 14 days before they are allowed to integrate into communities. For VOA News, I am Onen Walter Solomon in Juba.
More than 1 million deaths have been attributed to the novel coronavirus. The bleak milestone, recorded on Monday in the U.S. by Johns Hopkins University, is greater than the population of Jerusalem or Austin, Texas. It is 2.5 times of the Sea of Humanity that was at Woodstock in 1969. It's more than four times the number of people killed by the 2014 earthquake and tsunami in the Indian Ocean. Reuters' Libby Hogan has more.
More than 33 million people have been infected by COVID-19 across more than 210 countries and territories, according to a Reuters tally. Deaths from coronavirus-related illnesses have doubled from 500,000 in just 3 months, led by fatalities in the United States, Brazil, and India. Those countries account for nearly half of all COVID-19 deaths globally, with the Latin American region alone responsible for more than a third of them. More than 5,400 people are dying around the world every 24 hours, according to a Reuters calculation. In the time it takes to watch a 90-minute soccer match, 340 people die on average. India is the latest epicenter of the pandemic globally and will overtake the US as the country with the most cases by the end of the year based on current trends, even as Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government pushes ahead with easing lockdown measures in a bid to jumpstart the economy. And just weeks away from the winter influenza season, the WHO has warned of a worrying spread across Western Europe. Europe accounts for nearly a quarter of coronavirus-related deaths. The high number of deaths has also led to changes in burial rites around the world, with morgues and funeral homes overwhelmed. From Bolivia to Indonesia, authorities and volunteers have had to work overtime to dig new graves and locate new burial sites.
And now to politics. The South Sudan United Front has dismissed a decision by the South Sudan Opposition Movements Alliance to suspend the membership of SSUF from the umbrella group. The new spokesperson of the Rebel South Sudan United Front, Nyamat Chol, says Soma's decision is not binding and that General Paul Malong is traveling to Rome for talks with the Kiir administration next week.
It claims that General not being unfit of leading South Sudan United Front are all baseless as well, because South Sudan United Front is still operating and the legitimate leader. Sunday claims to be forming his own. He's still in possession of the office materials that were under him, and he still has the website details and all our pages. So he's using those forums to reach out to the public and to announce himself the now chairperson and commander-in-chief. But we don't know who are his followers.
Talking about the alliance, we last spoke to Kwaja Lasu, who speaks on behalf of the alliance, and he said the South Sudan United Front has been suspended from the umbrella group.
SAF does not recognize that document because it was not unanimously approved. South Sudan Opposition Movement Leadership Council consists of three parties under the Hague Declaration, and these are General Paul Malong, Thomas Cirilo, and Pagana Mum. The Leadership Council did not meet in their ordinary meeting to make this decision. So it must have been elements that are not in the Leadership Council.
But the letter was issued by Kwaja Lasu, who speaks on behalf of the alliance. How do you just dismiss the decision of the alliance?
He's a member of the alliance, and he said that the majority had voted. The majority can only vote if it's two against one, because the Leadership Council consists of three leaders that I just mentioned.
And what are your preparations for a meeting next week in Rome? Is your group still participating in that meeting?
Yes, General Paul Malone is still going to the meeting in Rome and Soma under the alliance.
Talk to me a little bit about the storm in your group. When Sandy Dijon was kicked out of the group, he said the group is more tribal.
Sandy Dijon is frustrated about his dismissal, and this is why he's going around and confusing some boys in the other group in the alliance, and we cannot recognize any of his claims.
Talk to me more about the dynamics within your group. It appears like nepotism has taken a center stage. Sunday said Malong replaced him with his close relatives. And you are saying here that he has leaked your documents to the national security.
Well, obviously, when someone is removed, they become beaten. You have seen that in the system in South Sudan. Every time a decree comes out of dismissal, there's always baseless information coming out of that frustrated individual. And this is what Sunday is going through at the moment. He had leaked the documents because he was the general knows it's him because the way he came back to him, he was the only custodian of that document. And if it was taken by anyone else, it would have been screenshotted. This document came straight from Sunday's computer straight to Juba National Security.
Why can't your group forgive Sunday Dijon and continue with business as usual? Because right now, he's not your best ambassador out there.
This is why he was only suspended. He was not dismissed. He was only suspended until he went to the media and made some personal attacks and making up lies upon lies. And this is what led to his dismissal, because once someone is suspended in any institution or organization, it means that they will be under investigation. And that issue can be resolved internally. It doesn't have to be a dismissal as a conclusion. It was just a suspension. But he dug his own grave, and this is why he met his dismissal.
That's Nyamach Chol, the new spokesperson of the Rebel South Sudan United Front. She spoke with me on Monday from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Na, na, na.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song My Country by Lonely Boy.
My country, My country, Nasketiri mabirudu beleto Mwondi haliso Kamandi sitimu Malu Juno Sudan De beleta masakila po Kebeli ya fogo Kamandi ya fogo Mi malis papa Itakandruwa bibeleta zon Kende itariza Asanta abinu Risala de Kede wasulu le kulu junubin Kede mon hare Bele ubele takim I'm lonely boy BMC music Oh na na No 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 Anabi zekiri Junub Sudan Ayewa im Junub Sudan My country Junub Sudan Dede kanas kulum Junub Sudan Anabi zekiri Junub Sudan Ayewa im Sudan, my country, Junub Sudan, Danas Kulum, Junub Sudan, Uleg Bakuruke, Aina, Dolong Bakaruke, Aina, Dog Bagaye Junior, Aina, Nandi Pondi Luke, Aina, Lady Sepamaki, Aina, Lady Sepakawa, Aina, Lady Sepakuku, Aina, Lakin Dopopuru, Aina, Lady Sepamaki, Aina, Lady Sepakawa. Aina lady sepa kuku aina na lake ndo popuru anabize kiri Junub Sudan ayeba im Junub Sudan my country Junub Sudan.
We've been listening to Lonely Boy with the song My Country. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing and wear a mask if you must leave your home. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Don't you talk better somebody? Aina na. Talk better somebody? Aina na. Tuker na tuker. Aina na. Kolege jurkata. Aina na. Don't you talk better somebody? Aina na. Talk better somebody? Aina na. Tuker na tuker.